This podcast is sponsored by the brand new TalkTalk TV Hub, the TV hub that's shaking things up.
This is a Global Player original podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Welcome to the 4 till 7 thing podcast. I'm Johnny Vaughan. Looks like I've got Dr. Sunta Templeton with me. She's stuck around for this bit. Thanks, Doc.
Hey.
Sometimes I know you like to naff off when we're doing this, but you don't see it as one of the compulsories. Mind you, nothing it is. You're in a free roaming news role.
No one naffs off like Sunta Templeton.
No one naffs off like Sunta Templeton.
It's a skill that I have perfected over many years.
Amazing.
Sunta Templeton, naffing off since 2015. the woodman, looks like the woodman Gav's here. You're right, woodman.
Hi.
You look perky, you look cheery.
I feel perky.
You look it.
Thank you.
You look perky. You look really healthy.
Oh, thanks.
You look very healthy.
Do I? Are you sure?
No, it's in the book of one-upmanship.
Oh, yeah, okay. Right, because normally you don't.
You're looking very healthy.
Yeah.
You're looking really healthy.
You look quite well at the moment.
It just irks people
to
say that.
Definitely.
Oh, my God, you look really healthy. People go, what?
And what?
Earth are you talking about? Big size here. Looks like he's got a sort of resting aggression about him.
Sure.
I tell you, big size, default resting pose.
What?
You know that nice, nasty copper routine when people are being interviewed?
Good cop, bad cop.
He's like the nasty guy waiting for his turn.
He is exactly
And you're surprised because you thought the guy who's talking to you was
the nasty guy.
Right, exactly right. And looks like we've got little Si. He's back in the fold with us. Little Si. Long, long, long illness there. Eight shows you're out for. Mm. No doctor's note.
Mm. Oh, I've got one, actually.
Have you?
Oh,
yeah, I thought you didn't see a doctor.
In retrospect. I didn't, but I had to get one because it was over the...
So how do you get a doctor's note?
You get a doctor's note
without seeing a doctor, yeah.
Just an online form now.
Oh, yeah, what, from Bulgaria?
You are kidding me.
Joking!
Yeah, it's an online doctor in Thailand.
Basically forging a note to get out of PE.
Yeah.
It says that Lek Vlenskilska can't come to school today.
Wow.
Is that all you got to do?
No, you just got to describe your symptoms, that's it, and then they sign it off.
Oh, man, the skills
online,
coming out of that one.
Notes.
Yeah. Wow, honestly, you just got to say I've been feeling not a bit under the weather.
Yeah.
I think you can get a degree like that as well.
Wait a second. How many times a year can you do it? Many times as you want.
Yeah, good question.
Well, hang on a second. As sickies, has that become like the honesty bar of British industry? I'm not kidding. Where no, you just pay what you want to pay. You just just say you've taken a beer. No, I'm just saying you can't run sickies on the basis of that.
No.
What? Why have we all gone silent about
it? You should at least be prodded around for a bit.
Yes, right.
You should have looked someone in the eye I'm not
That's
well.
Right.
Yeah, so you've got to have someone look at you and go, Yeah,
definitely.
Right. You need that.
Yeah.
So there was no at all. You should at least have to, please, face, get your eyes exactly in the right position in the, and you just have to stand there and you've got to look a bit sort of shaky and go, what? What? I do feel bad.
They need to use a stethoscope on you.
Yes, exactly.
Definitely. And ask you some questions.
Well, I genuinely feel bad. And you just hear from your computer, while the ball's spinning, it just goes, Okay. At least it can take your temperature or something. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, coming up this week, that's enough of that. If little Simon's symptoms are a little bit dubious, then what's coming up this week isn't. It's certain. Fat finger syndrome gives me a cunning plan. Little Si discovers a new talent in bed. I know. And the woodman has the most glorious amateur in the history of travel, getting high before plunging into the high pressure zone, the danger zone that is his heroic little slot. Enjoy.
Radio X.
Gav, how was your weekend?
My weekend, as you might imagine, Johnny, was awesome.
Was it? Yes, it must be awesome.
It was so... I'm still giddy with excitement about
the
football.
Tottenham must have thought they had it as well.
Oh, man.
Oh, you're talking about the Arsenal game?
Yes.
Sorry, I thought you meant... sorry, completely...
Apart from that, though...
Because for a second there, Tottenham must have thought they had the result.
I know.
2-0 up, right? They must have thought... Well, put it this way, if you score first...
Yeah.
And always remember this.
Especially if you go 2 up.
This is an actual statistic.
Yeah.
If you score the first goal, there is an 80% chance you will win.
Is that how high?
And a 90% chance you won't lose.
Right. Wow.
Tottenham 2 up, lost.
4-2, yeah.
Yeah, 4-2.
God. But also, my cat, who stares at me whenever I play the guitar on the sofa, she walked up to my guitar.
Yeah, this is extraordinary.
And strummed it. and stopped listened. She just one paw crossed the strings, strummed it, listened to it, and then moved on.
Don't tell me, what was it like?
Well, I think she was checking if it was in tune or not.
Did she discover a new chord?
Well, she's just seen me doing something with it and thought, what is this thing?
I thought you were going to say, and then last night I suddenly hear this noise and it's like, and then I suddenly hear, meow, meow. And she was actually playing Thunderstruck.
Meow, meow. Meow, be quite a turn, wouldn't it?
Oh, man, a cat who can play Thunderstruck.
Yeah. A proper cat.
Yeah. No, there's this. No, but it'd be quite weird getting it across at first, wouldn't it? You say, no, there's some cat playing the guitar. He actually means it.
No, it's my cat. Yeah.
My actual cat. She's.
You don't know, Gav. I mean, it could spiral out of control. What if he gets a band together?
Something is happening. That's all I know.
No.
What something you think, is happening. She's learning.
You think like morphic consciousness, isn't it?
Yes.
It's collective consciousness.
Something's going on,
Something going on. Mm. This Frenchman did an experiment there. He went in one of those caves, didn't he, at Chauvet, and he got everyone to think a certain thing on French television.
Oh, yeah.
To see if everyone would have this same thought. He did a big experiment, thinking the same. And he did it because of research into, weirdly, sheep in Australia.
Right. Well, the way the sheep were behaving together.
No. They learnt a new skill, and it spread without the sheep possibly being able to tell each other.
Yes, because they couldn't have spoken.
Right,
yeah.
Now, the skill was rolling across cattle grids.
Oh, instead of trying to walk across and getting their hooves stuck. Yeah.
So
yeah.
They started rolling across them. And the reason it is because they started painting some.
Right.
So because they started these painted cattle grids just to fool the sheep. They couldn't be asked why sheep put them in.
Yeah.
So they started painting like
fake
cattle
ones.
Grids to stop sheep crossing from one pasture to another. And so they noticed that some sheep just started noticing they could walk across it, you know, not stupid, but then they fell down another one.
Right.
So they started rolling to test
just in case.
Which one it was. It was like a mid thing. So this farmer suddenly sort of thought, they're rolling across that category. No, but before, literally, it spread overnight, coast to coast, all sheep learnt it.
Wow.
They can all do it.
Well, there's going to be a cat band then soon.
Right,
they're going to have a band.
I'm just saying, you don't know. I mean, I'm just saying if you own a cat out there and you're suddenly a cat. And
they'll start with ukuleles, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon they will.
Just to wean themselves onto it. Yeah.
My result, I had a real result the weekend.
Go on, what happened?
Because I was walking with my son, two, and he suddenly goes, as we're walking, I'm so proud.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Get in there.
And how did that make you feel, Tom?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, he
oh.
But the thing is, he yells that now at buses as well.
Oh, so, really? Yeah. Okay, right.
So it's always, every cloud. Yeah. And also, one of our neighbours went to do a reading. He also sends a kid to the same nursery school.
Yeah.
Did a reading at the school. Not a reading from the Bible. You get to go tell a story to the kids.
Yeah.
And Milton was he's heckling him. So, Rob, if you're listening, I'm sorry about that. It must be tremendously embarrassing for you and your wife to have someone else's child yelling daddy at you for the duration of what was apparently a very moving performance of The Gruffalo. That's all right. I mean, listen.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
Hey, guys, get this. Liz Hurley enjoyed a night out with her lookalike son, Damien. That doesn't impress me much, yeah?
Okay, yeah.
It's quite weird that they're sort of, I don't know, they look so chummy, don't they? And he looks so like her, it's just...
Yeah, a bit weird, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, it's just odd.
Sure.
You sort of think of them just in their farm, the two of them. doing their hair.
Looking like Hurley.
That's not what grabbed my attention. Really grabbed my attention was Queen rocker Brian May in a mask. God, you'd never know. I wonder who that is.
Well, it's for the Cirque du Soleil, and the theme is steampunk.
Right.
So that's what he's gone for, a steampunk vibe. But yeah, but the mask is not working.
I wonder who that is.
Yeah.
Who? The guy who's 6'5" with that long grey curly hair and a mask.
Of all the people who look just like that, who could it be?
Yes.
And also, he stood right next to Anita Dobson.
Yes.
Right,
The guy standing next to the... I wonder who that is.
It's the only other person that might be is James May, but he's not tall enough, is he?
No.
Yeah,
no, he also hasn't got long hair.
And the hair isn't curly enough.
Right. You got it. On other pages, Blur drummer Dave Rowntree decided to turn vocalist, having faced defeat by trying to become a trumpet maestro. So he's given up the trumpet.
Okay.
He gave it up. Dave hoped to switch instruments during lockdown, but gave up when he scared some ducks near his home in Norfolk.
That's weird. And you got to say, I mean, he did all right with the drums.
I know, but that's time to give up. I know, but drummers, it's such a hard transferable skill.
Especially in lockdown.
Look at Phil Collins.
Yeah, yeah. You're on your own on the estate.
I mean, he could sing and drum. That was a miracle.
That's true, yeah.
That's a miracle.
There's
singing,
not many that can do that. Yeah.
I still think it's odd at a gig.
It's him and Don Henley, basically,
yes,
isn't it?
That's but
it.
To have a drummer as your lead singer.
I know, it's weird.
Because they're sort of tethered, aren't they?
That's right. They're supposed to be at the back on a platform.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You can't
be at the front.
It's just odd.
It is odd.
Put it this way, Gav. Yeah. For me, when you see a drummer who's the lead singer, and in this case, I'm only talking about Phil Collins.
Sure,
do you know what I think?
What?
It ain't natural.
No,
it's
it ain't
not,
right.
No, it's not the way God intended.
No, it isn't.
God didn't want people to have a beautiful voice who are drummers.
There's a difference between backbone and frontman.
Yes, yes.
Can't be both.
Yes, so massive difference.
A frontman has to sit.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
right. You don't talk with your spine, do you?
No. A frontman needs to be able to put his foot on the monitor.
Yeah, right.
And wail into the mic.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Thing is,
I'll be sat down on a stool.
Right, and I'll tell you what else we've learned.
Go on.
If you want to go out, you need to go to Salisbury. this is... Do you know Brad Pitt used to be a limo driver for strippers?
Did he?
Yeah, apparently, yeah, for male strippers, yeah.
Good God.
Imagine that, those people there just had that Brad Pitt as their driver and they just thought, who's this? Oh, I wish you'd shut up.
You think you know someone.
Yeah, right. X. Like me, I bet you love TV and I bet you think you're pretty good at watching it too. You got a system that works. Yeah, you're tied into several long contracts with loads of unwanted channels, but you navigate that mess like a boss. Slow down there, champ. TalkTalk's TV Hub is here to shake things up. It offers a new way to enjoy TV and more. With TalkTalk TV, you're in control. You can choose the flexible subscription you want to watch and access all your favorite channels and streaming services in one place, meaning you spend less by only paying for the TV you actually watch. Almost seems fair, right? Not only that, you get over 10,000 apps on Google Play that go beyond TV, and you can enjoy brilliant features like 4K Ultra HD, Dolby Atmos sound, and voice control too. It's the TV hub that's shaking things up. From TalkTalk. To find out more, search TalkTalk TV. Available on selected full fibre plans, £5 monthly access, 30-day minimum contract. Google and Google Play are trademarks of Google LLC. Google account required. Additional hardware and subscriptions may be required. Subject to location. For full terms, visit talktalk.co.uk.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Hopes that Britain was leading the way on productivity amongst the world's wealthy nations dashed yesterday.
Why?
And I thought the report was really surprising as well. When it said we're leading in productivity, I thought, what?
Yeah, I read that headline. I thought, this can't be right.
Right, that's what I thought.
It's not borne out in anyone's experience.
Right, that's what we all thought. We can't. We've got our biggest trading partner is not there.
Right.
We're like Cuba.
Yeah, I keep hearing exports are down like 74% or something.
So it's like Cuba with the USA, except we're closer. They're like 90 miles away. We're 22 miles away. Anyway. But it turns out, that we were right to have that feeling.
Why?
Because it was all an example of fat finger syndrome.
What's that?
Someone with a fat finger entered the wrong stats.
Well, just that
I'm
simple.
Not.
Is it
I'm not.
That straightforward?
It can't be that simple.
Yes, yes. It's suffered one of the worst. It turns out we'd suffered one of the worst rates of productivity growth in the big G7 economies.
Ah.
It was exactly the opposite of what we thought.
So we were right.
We were right, yeah. We're thinking, well, this can't be right. the Statistics Office issued a correction on productivity data, and it said it was a manual error. It was fat finger syndrome.
Oh, really?
God. Yeah, that's what that's called.
Someone just punched the wrong numbers into
No, they didn't. They didn't mean to.
No, yeah, well, they...
Yeah,
but either that or they're lying.
Here's the deal, though, guys.
Yeah.
Is that... Apparently, during that time, because it looked optimistic for a bit...
Yeah.
We had a record amount then of investments and our shares go up. It's just sort of thinking, well, just
pretend.
But if we're relying on computers and you can just literally blame, it's no malice.
Yeah.
But fat finger syndrome.
Right.
Actually improved your economy because someone, weirdly, you're performing disastrously.
Mm.
Then, and someone with a big finger.
Can cause an upturn in the market.
Had a few lunchtime drinks.
Sure.
Not only made you look good, but encouraged huge optimism and investment, the pound going up. And all for a lunchtime drink and a fat finger.
Right.
And a poorly performing economy. You've got to say, is there a strategy we're not pursuing here that perhaps we could do?
We need more fat fingers.
Do you know what we need, Gav? Some changes. Radio X. Guys, we are saved.
Why?
Because we might have one of, like, a holy child with us.
Really?
Yeah. What? Listen to this. It's not Milton. He can say daddy.
Right.
Too.
Okay, yeah.
And bus.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes at me, either. But okay, yeah. Some people made more of the... This makes me slightly sick.
Mm-hmm.
Some people made more of the COVID-19 lockdown than others. Teddy Hobbs, age two.
Right.
Used the enforced time at home to teach himself to read fluently to his parents.
What?
Age two?
Yeah, Milton, I'm not contrasting, I'm putting my son down, but he learnt to open a yogurt. This kid learnt to...
Reading?
Yes, he learnt to get a ladder out, open the fridge door,
yeah,
and get a yoghurt out. A petit filou.
For which I applaud him.
Yeah. Also, he can snap it off, you know, so...
Yeah.
He can divide it, you know, divide them off.
Plus, the boy's a climber.
Yes. Yeah, right.
My son was a climber.
Yeah, Teddy. Yeah, you want to impress me? Get a ladder by the fridge.
Yeah, right.
So, before he turned three, he moved on to teaching himself to count to 100 in seven languages. Can I just say... It's not a thing you're going to need to do.
I'm sorry. This teaching himself, this is rubbish. His parents are doing this.
Yes,
definitely.
Pushy parents, exactly, isn't it? Yeah. Either that or some kind of possession.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
He's some got a kind very, of evil very, possession. Very clever
right.
demon.
Yeah. A young autodidact, self-taught, from Portishead, North Somerset, is now Britain's youngest member of Mensa. And do you know what? It's one thing. There's two sorts of people. People who are a member of Mensa.
Yeah.
And people who bang on about it.
Yeah.
Right. Now,
but can I just say, that's one sort of person.
That is the same person. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not two groups.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
There's the two groups of people who are members of Mensa and people who aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see what I mean?
I do.
But if people are a member of Mensa, you literally find out about it within. It's like if people have got a jack. Thank you.
They tell you.
They tell you.
They tell you.
Right,
yeah. It's the same with advanced driving licenses. They'll tell you.
They'll tell you. Yeah. And what's the next thing they'll say? Do you know the next thing they'll say? Is?
What?
Of course, he brings down insurance.
Yeah, insurance.
Shut up.
Shut up.
I always feel, as soon as, if ever that happens, you saw that dinner or something, you always feel like shunting them on the way out, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
So
yeah.
Just doing them with a car door. Yeah. Anyway, the young autodidact from Portishead, North Somerset, is now Britain's youngest member of Mensa. He bewildered his parents because he asked health visitors to assess him before he asked.
Please, could you assess me?
What?
The thing is, I was like this when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But with physical strength.
Sure.
I was teaching myself to do amazing acts. I only know this because I was doing, I was at a symposium at the weekend because there's a new Gamma Core 10, Apex Mindset. And what?
No, nothing.
Sure.
Why? That's not funny. What?
I'd like to know about the Apex Mindset, but I don't want to distract you.
How can there be 10 whole books about the game?
Unleashing the Core.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
he's just so naive, right? I mean,
10?
To get to the Apex.
Shut it, Gav.
10 stages.
Gav, because I'm a bit pumped up, all right?
Okay, yeah, well, I can see that.
I'm just a little bit pumped up. If you carry on like that, I'll rip your head off.
Okay,
listen to this.
That escalated.
So Teddy Hobbs has asked for an assessment.
Funnily
young
enough,
Teddy
Hobbs. We do that in our self defence thing. You learn how to rip people's heads off.
Really, as a technique.
Yeah, part of the Apex thing.
Wow.
Yeah, physics with one hand.
You're not practicing. You're practicing on dummies.
You need one hand and a steady elbow.
Sure. Okay. So when you were Teddy's age, you were asking to be assessed.
Yes.
For your physical prowess.
No, my parents did. My teacher did because they were quite intimidated.
Right.
Literally at the age of three, I had the damage.
But you were bench pressing the Labrador by that age, I remember.
Gav, my mum said it was like trying to parent.
Telling me,
it was like trying to parent, I quote, a fully grown gorilla.
Yeah, sure.
But small,
She said, my mum said that even at the age of four, one au pair described my craggy good looks. I'm being serious.
That's just weird.
Yeah, you had a really V-shaped torso, even as a three-year-old. I remember.
When I was at nursery school, the head teacher in the report, we still got it at home, said, Teej is an enigmatic toddler.
Mm.
I was described as a very enigmatic toddler.
Wow.
Anyway, this kid, maybe he's got the answers.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why this country begat him.
Maybe we need him at this time.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the country's never really needed my brute strength.
Sure.
But boy,
have we got a lot of stupidity at the moment.
Right.
So maybe we need someone bright. Yeah.
I mean, it's not just... I notice he's got all this... He's going to primary school. Put him in charge.
Get him straight
in. Primary school.
Yeah,
how about number 11 Downing Street for a kickoff? You know, if it adds up for him in this way.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, they're supporting him. He's now... really being the poster boy for the high IQ society. Who knows, Gav? It's hard for me because I was never in that position with that great intelligence. But I can just say to everyone around him, don't do what you did to me. Don't treat him like some kind of freak, all right?
Yeah, right.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
Right, Gav.
Yes.
Are you ready for this? There's a craze coming in. Incidentally... Johnson leaves troubles behind with a Ukraine visit.
Oh, yeah.
God, you know someone's in trouble when they're visiting Ukraine for a bit of light relief. Do you know what I mean?
That's where you're going, yeah.
Sorry, I only say it 'cause it's next door to the thing I would like to discuss with you in the newspaper.
Yeah.
A church has cashed in.
On what?
On holidaymakers who want a room with a pew.
Oh,
very good, sir.
Very good.
Oh, very good reference.
Nice.
And I've indebted to several foreigners who've offered me a room with a pew. Oh, very good, Vicar. Anyway, would you like to be woken by the sun streaming in through stained glass windows, falling on your makeshift bed between a row of pews? Camping in church, writes Kaya Burgess, religious affairs correspondent with the Times of London, is telling us about champing.
What the hell?
Champing.
What the hell?
Camping in churches.
But how many? Like hundreds.
Like
hundreds of people.
Stick your tent up in there.
Yeah, the organ. Well, you don't have to put your tent up, do you? It's got a roof. Well, actually, some of them haven't.
Where the it's not very private, though.
Is it going to be like a hospital ward where people have got those sort of curtains between them?
I forgot how rock and roll you are. No, because if I'm camping, it means
I'm going to need my own area.
Do you mind? I need a bit of privacy. Anyway, what would you be up to?
Move along, will you?
Jonathan, I blush! I blush to think of what is going on in your church!
Unless you're in there on your own, you're going to want a little bit... I mean, also, it's a big, drafty space. You want something a bit cosier.
It's true, yeah.
See you later, love. I'm off for a bit of me time. You said, with a sleeping bag. No, I'm going up the church. You know? Before you know it, though, you're going to get the lay-by crowd in there.
Yeah.
Who quite like that. And then Satanists.
Yes.
Who quite like the whole evil thing of it.
Yeah.
We turned the cross upside down, the lot. Had a cracking night.
Great night. Got some cider in.
Yeah, look at this. Actual footage of a sacrifice in the goat. Get this, the organisers were scheming to open churches to holidaymakers, hikers and pilgrims. It's hard to believe there's still...
I mean, they look quite medieval with everyone in there.
No, but I'm Gav.
Yeah.
Pilgrims.
I know.
In this country.
Is there still a scene?
What pilgrims?
Is there still a scene? Where do we join the host?
That's a much more Middle East thing.
Where do we join the host? And we all go and we walk. You have to walk. It's the whole badge of honour thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, this is their most successful year ever. They're planning more than double the capacity in churches where you can camp. My point is, you don't have to have them in the church. Think about it. Churchyards, yeah?
Yeah.
I can tell you one thing. That plot is exactly one person big.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of them.
And they're all laid out neatly.
They're all laid out neatly and also labelled.
Yes, easily identified. Yes.
Let me have a look, sir. I've put you in the... Jebediah Levenscombe, 1874 to 1920 of this parish.
It says he was always on the square on the headstone.
Just turn left at Bartholomew Cummings, 1823 to 1896, also late of this parish. And that's it, you've got everyone lying out there. Look really spooky.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you've got a nice stone headboard.
Yeah.
Imagine walking past there, a bit merry.
Oh, weird.
X.
I'm Joel Dommett.
And I'm Hannah Cooper.
And we are married to each other contractually.
We are trying out new things that we have never ever done before on our podcast, Never Have I Ever. Such as...
I've never ever been to a strip club.
Never have I ever been to a strip club.
True. In which case, we can both go to a strip club for the purposes of this podcast.
Never have we ever been to a Caribbean island.
Never have we ever discussed how you pronounce Caribbean. I think it's Caribbean. Never Have I Ever is available now on Global Player. Give it a listen, please.
Radio X.
Johnny
Vaughan.
I don't know if it's true, that's what I've heard. Yeah. How often do we hear that line that people say? Annoyingly these days, not so much, because people just pick up their phones and go, that's crap.
Yeah, right.
But when I was a kid, you could do that, and there was no way anyone could actually prove you were lying. It was fantastic.
You could go a whole day at school, just the same
no,
thing.
No, longer than that. No one went to the Encyclopedia Britannica, or they'd ask a teacher and they'd just try and shut you up.
Yeah.
But this, weirdly, in Oscar Wilde's fantastic book, The Decay of Lying, is a conversation between two men saying, isn't it annoying how, because there's encyclopedias and dictionaries now, no one lies so much?
Right.
Yes.
What would you, I mean, how prophetic, right?
Mm. Right.
That now it's, that what he wouldn't have seen is, paradoxically, even though we've got a way of checking facts, there's more lies out there than ever.
Yes, because the places you go to check are also now full of lies.
Yes, so don't worry, Oscar, lies...
It's not just that there are more lies, it's that they're more believed as well. Everyone just believes them.
Right.
It's amazing.
But I wonder, before we look at these texts, because there's a wider problem here.
Yeah.
Like, my mate texted me, something he'd been sent. He said, remember, starting tomorrow, 5:27, we'll experience the aphelion phenomenon.
What's that?
So the Earth will be further from the sun. This is a text he's received, right?
Yes. Right.
He says, we cannot see the phenomenon, but we can feel its impact. It'll last till March. We'll have more cold weather, more than ever, which will have an impact on flu, cough, difficulty breathing, all this, Says the distance from the Earth to the sun is 5 light minutes, or 90,000 kilometres.
Yeah.
The aphelion takes us 152,000 kilometres away. Okay.
Wow.
What's weird? I thought, do you know what? It means that the sun is 66% further away. So I thought I'll look it up.
Yeah.
It says, please share this information.
Yeah.
I thought I'm going to look that up.
Yeah.
Get this. The Earth, the actual antiphelion, is in July.
Right.
It's not now at all.
Right? Okay.
It's in July.
Yeah.
This means the Earth is 91,000 miles away, not kilometres.
Right.
And it will move to 94,000.
It's a tiny bit more,
It's 91 million miles away.
Yeah.
And it'll move to 94 million miles away, which represents literally 5%.
Not 60%.
Not 60%.
Yeah.
But what I wondered when I looked at this is... Who sends that?
Yeah, right.
What do they think?
And what for?
And it's just so easy to look it up. I suddenly thought, who sits there? Is it a way of tracking who's sending crap
Must
to people?
Be.
Yeah, they are right.
It's always those ones where it goes, read more.
Yeah, and pass it on and retweet.
Pass it on. Make sure everyone knows this. Mm. I'm thinking that's amazing that whoever it is knowledgeable enough to know about the whatever it is.
What it's
but
called.
Also
yeah.
knows thing. How to then
but actually,
it.
At this time of year, it's quite the opposite. Yeah. Earth, weirdly... is furthest away from the sun in July.
Wow.
July the 6th. And we're nearest to it now.
Mm. That's weird.
It's crazy. Who thinks... I'll just
lie about
so
it.
So watch out. You could get colds and coughs.
Mm. Yeah, right. What a load of rubbish.
Yeah, but who is it?
I know.
Who are these total... Right. If you sneeze with your eyes open, your eyes pop out. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what I've heard.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that, actually.
Yeah.
Thanks for sending us that. Also, the duck-billed platypus is the only animal to lay eggs and produce milk. I'm not sure how true that is, but that's what I've heard. I reckon that's quite true, actually.
Earwigs can fold themselves up to become 10 times smaller. I don't know if it's true, but it's what I've heard.
I haven't heard that. I know they can crawl inside your ear, and then they get inside the brain with those little tweezy things, and they can lay eggs.
That's right,
Okay, go on.
Queen Elizabeth I kept her dogs in the Isle of Dogs, and you could hear them bark all the way in Essex, in the town which is now called Barking. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I heard.
That sounds very good, though.
That's from Alf Dickey.
It's a brilliant one. It's really complex.
I'd love if that was true. Don't look these up.
No.
For God's sake, it's not in the spirit of the thing. Here's one. Toilet seats are only meant for women.
Yeah.
Men are meant to hover. Justin in Stockport says that. P.S. I only stopped believing this once I got to university. What do you mean? It's not true?
It could be. That's what I've heard.
That's what I heard.
What have you got, Gav?
Very sound theory here from Mark in Manchester. He says, I once heard the Northern Line was built to attract Northerners to the capital to do all the jobs the Southerners were too fancy to do. I don't know. It's just what I heard.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true.
Very strong theory.
That's Mark in Manchester. So I tell you what, Mark, it's compelling. Mm. What you got there, Sue?
Christian says, if you dismantle an Etch-a-Sketch from the 70s, there's actually an iPad inside. I'm not sure if that's true, but that's what I've heard.
That is what I've heard.
I've heard that as well,
Do you know what's weird is actually I have never heard that. But I don't know. Someone said they tested my guinea pig theory. If you hold a guinea pig upside down, its eyes fall out.
Oh.
And they said it's true. It's absolutely true.
No.
So, I don't know. They're probably lying. How about this? I've heard that before pigs, ham came from hamsters.
Mm.
I don't know if that's true, but that's what I heard. That's just David Lynch. Imagine just a little ham from a hamster, though, Gav.
It's just really, really tiny small little bits of bacon. Of it.
Little bits of bacon from a ham. Gav, what have you got there that you... I don't know if it's true or not, but another listener's...
This is fascinating.
It's just something they've heard.
This is fascinating. Alex in Kent says he's heard that bird song is not actually singing.
Right, what is
but
it?
But it's screaming, because it's when the birds realise they're afraid of heights.
I'm not sure how true... He's not sure how true that is, but it is something he's definitely heard. Yeah. Sons, what have you... Imagine birds were frightened of heights.
Yeah, right. It would make you scream, wouldn't
it? You're wearing a shawl, which was a word
cold.
That... That's a word my mother banned.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Because she said it just makes all of us feel older.
It's a scarf.
That's what she said. She says, as soon as you hear the word shawl, it ages you. I don't know if it's true. Mm. It's something I heard from my mum.
I heard that if you leave liver next to a glass of milk...
Shawl.
If you leave liver next to a glass of milk...
The liver will crawl into the glass of milk.
Yep, makes sense.
I don't know if that's true. It's just what I heard.
Hang on a second. Has someone actually heard that? Yeah.
It's no name on it.
It's but genius.
That's what they've heard.
I remember once I ordered liver in a restaurant because I do love a bit of liver with bacon. It's got loads of iron. It's very good for you.
Yeah.
I was with my dad and it was liver with bacon and mash. It's just delish. Mm. And a bit of gravy. And my dad says, yeah, you know, liver's the closest thing you can come to poo.
What?
I was like, what?
What?
He says, yeah, that's all it does, basically, John. Just cleans the blood and that's what it sends it. It's the closest thing you can eat to it. And I said, oh. And the bloke came up and went, I'll have the steak, please. My dad, and he looked at my dad and he goes, yeah, I'll have the last liver, please.
Oh.
I know, that was really mean.
Oh, God.
He knew there was one portion left. He'd overheard them on the next door table. Gab, what do you got?
Michael in London says the width, the gauge of train tracks are the size they are because it's the same width as two horse behinds. I'm not sure how true that is, but it's what Michael's heard.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Two horse
I tell you something.
That makes sense.
That makes sense because they'd have been pulling things along the line, so they couldn't go outside it.
There you go. They had to be within the rails.
I bet it's one. I don't know. That is great if it's true. I know that in Texas, you can't go further than 20 miles in a direction without finding a town. It's 22 miles, because that's how far a horse can go in a
day.
It's
a day's ride.
Because horses are actually slower than humans once they're just walking.
Right,
You can walk, but they can only gallop for about a mile. I mean, half a mile or something.
They get all sweaty.
They're pretty lazy. Sure. It's always about 22 miles before you get to the next town.
Wow.
So there you go. I don't know if it's true. That's what I heard from a Texan. Yeah. Again, I don't know if it's true. Gab, what do you got?
Mick in Hastings says in Brazil, they call Brazil nuts Argentines. He's not sure how true that is, but it's what he's heard.
Sons, what's Mike on about there?
Mike in Desperate says, I have it on good authority that Mel Gibson and Sylvester Stallone are actually the same person.
Interesting.
I know that's true, but that's not what.
Do you know something? It's weird because the first person I ever interviewed, big name, was Mel Gibson, and way back. Mm. And when I met Stallone, I interviewed him, which was only about a few weeks later.
Yeah.
He did feel like I'd already met him, but that might be because I'd seen Three Rockies, and all the Rambos, and he's a bit more. Anyway.
Guy in Hawley says, Tej, cats can jump the length of a swimming pool. Not sure how true that is, but it's what he's heard.
Well, he's heard that cats... What swimming? How big is a swimming pool?
Well, I guess... a cat... Olympic, well, it's a 50-metre pool, isn't
it? No, cats can't jump 50 metres.
We don't know for sure, John.
No, but I don't know. I'd like to clarify.
If they really wiggle their behinds before they leap, they can probably make it.
Damien in Englefield Green, he doesn't know if it's true or not, but he's heard that monkeys have much better table manners than apes.
Yeah,
he says, I'm not sure if it's true.
Yeah.
Deliveroo was a company started in Australia to deliver kangaroos.
Yeah.
It then extended to include pizza and other foodstuffs. Do you want to guess me about Deliveroo, right?
What?
Is that they didn't make a profit again, they were saying.
I guess it's just weird. During lockdown.
And you're thinking, they're hoping for the future. I'm thinking, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, how could it get
it's
better than that?
It's not going to get better than that,
no.
is it?
Everyone
I'm not
was
saying
stuck
everyone,
at home, yeah.
sell if you got shares, but what are they waiting? If you can't make money out of the whole of Britain being locked up and ordering takeaways, I worry.
Yeah.
I worry.
Yeah.
Johnny, I've heard 85% of Americans think Joan of Arc is Noah's wife. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if that's true. Simon in Cambridge just said it's just what he heard.
At TikTok, we're known for entertainment, but behind the scenes, we're committed to safety within our community. That's why we set all TikTok accounts aged between 13 and 15 as private, with no access to direct messaging. Our family pairing tool lets you link your account to your teens, so you can adjust what content they see and manage how long your family spends on TikTok with our screen time management tool. Safety. Your priority is our commitment. Search TikTok Guardian's Guide to learn more.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Little Simon.
Hello.
So what's been, how can you been away for 8 days?
I've had a cold, haven't I? That a really bad one.
Actually. Ian, I've had a cold, mister.
Ian, I've had a cold, I have, so I have. Have you had a cold?
Yeah.
Have you had an cold?
It's cold gone up in your bones.
I actually got through 6 boxes of man-sized tissues over the last 8 days.
That makes me feel unwell.
I assume your missus had a cold as well then, because it could have been for you.
Good point, Johnny.
Yeah, I've done him there, haven't I?
One of a...
Yeah.
So what have you been, like, all over the Lemsips and the...
I'm on a heady cocktail of meds at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Like what?
Benelin.
Benelin tickly cough syrup.
These aren't meds.
And day and night nurse.
I can't see anything...
Day and night nurse.
Can I just say, I can't see anything there that a doctor would have given you.
Mm.
And if you're out of work for 8 days, little son, I'm not being too fine a point on it, but you've got to seek, there's got to be some kind of, you know...
Did you hire an actual nurse for when you were off?
They've got one permanently anyway.
No. But...
Mrs. Minvers.
I spent so long in bed.
Nurse
right?
Minvers. Yeah,
right. I've discovered an extraordinary talent in bed.
What?
Okay, hold that thought.
Yeah.
Little Si has discovered a brand new talent in bed.
Wow.
I know. That's how you keep listeners, right?
Radio X.
Right, the waiting is over. Little Simon's back with us after 8 days. Took 8 days away ill. Didn't go to see the doctor. Normally, you've got to do that to get more than 2 days, but for some reason, Little Si saw fit not to go through that procedure. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just thought, Harry will cover it. I'll just come back with a load of over-the-counter remedies and make out it was serious. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
A sniffle.
Unbelievable. Sort of thing you get in those sort of amateur ambulances.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know, have you seen those guys? There's some guys have amateur ambulances and they genuinely have like a radio scramble and they follow crashes and things like that and they turn up. No, it's a terrible thing because they've waved away genuine ambulances because they thought an ambulance...
Oh, there's someone here. Yeah, that's
it's
a terrible one.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All he's got is some guy there with a broken leg and he's just sort of offering him like Nurofen.
Who does that?
Yeah, right, men like him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, think on.
Yeah.
So, little Simon, what's this new skill you developed in bed? First of all, is it clean?
Yeah, it's clean, yeah.
Kids listen to this show.
It's sure. More of a gift, I'd say.
You've got a gift in bed?
A gift?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your bed gift?
I spent a lot of time in bed.
Yeah.
Because I was ill.
Yeah.
And even in total darkness, right, I can pick up a glass of water from a coaster.
Yeah.
Drink from it.
Yeah.
And then put it back.
On the coaster.
On the coaster.
And what? And hit it every time?
Hit it every time. Literally every time. I tried moving it.
Do you know something, yeah?
This is like a Jedi trick.
No. Should I just say something, yeah?
What?
If you're listing that as a talent,
yeah, that's a worry.
You've got to have nothing going for you.
Must have been some dark days.
No. Just that's what I'm saying is, if that stands out as a talent, if I've done that, I wouldn't even remember.
Yeah.
I'm not saying because I've got so much talent. I'm just saying I wouldn't.
I don't know though. There's people out there who love to keep a very tidy house. They're thinking, good man.
Well, yeah, good.
Hitting the coaster every time.
You think there's listeners thinking?
Because there's no droplets hitting the varnished wood.
If after that you're thinking, good man, 83936. What would you? So, what other talent? What talent does this? Where does this stand in your top 10?
Yeah, how is it transferable to anything else in life?
No. But where does it stand in this top 10?
In terms
of other things you think you're good at.
Well, it's up there.
It's not really up there with, like, reverse parking.
Now, what's it up there? What's it up there with?
Oh, I'd say, yeah, it is. It's up there with parallel parking.
Are you a good parker?
Not bad. With my new car, because it's got a camera on and beepers.
But new car. That's cheating, eh? It's like, literally. That's like, you know, to park, it's like a Star Wars thing, isn't it?
You've got to like, exactly like
you
put that,
you got to literally go in blind. It's literally, here's the force, heaven.
Well, I thought it was rather clever.
No.
I could move around. It wasn't
well,
just
well, you didn't have one miss the whole week.
One miss. I could drink from it. I moved my body. It wasn't,
body.
Though, it wasn't as though I was in the same position.
Stop saying Would you stop saying
have
and
you
also,
got very what, expensive you, hang on, wait a second. Tables?
Did you? Yeah, good point.
No. Are they very expensive?
Okay, no, my no. question. My question. Yeah. You moved around what while drinking? Was that to see if you could find it from
To try and confuse myself.
What, you were testing yourself?
Confuse myself.
My God.
Well, how much latitude?
It's like Top Gun in there.
No, but how much latitude did you allow yourself?
Oh, a good few inches.
I think you were actually delirious. I think you were a lot sicker than you thought
so
you were.
So if ever there was like a disaster movie or something, yeah. like Gav,
yeah.
one of those sort of films or a Star Wars thing where... Mm. Mm. At the end of it, there's a ragtag band of survivors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the end of it, something has to be placed exactly somewhere.
Don't let him die. We need someone to place something.
Who can take that cup, drink it, and then replace it exactly back?
Same place, yeah.
We don't know.
I mean, it's sort of like that Indiana Jones thing, but he has the weight on it.
It is, yeah.
I just don't see it. There's a transferable talent. I just don't get what... Except for people who put it back exactly where they found it. The more I listen, the more certain I am that Little Si is the love child of Frank Spencer from Some Mothers Do Have 'Em. Mm-hmm. Hey, we'll be talking about that show a bit later.
Sure.
Apparently it's massive in Latvia. and here's another thing that's absolutely fantastic. This is one of the funniest things, okay, we've ever... funniest observations ever sent into the show, apart from Stuart Chester's. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
So Lil Si can replace his glass on top of the coaster in the dark. Yeah. It's in pitch black. David Morvan says he doesn't have a special skill. He just couldn't see in the dark that the coaster was stuck to the bottom of the glass.
Oh! Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
Gav.
Yes.
Someone's saying they hope to see Lil Si blind coastering at the 2024 Olympics. What an event that would be. Thin arm goes out.
Yeah, it's still total darkness.
What do you think about that there, Gav? We've got the infrared specs here. We can see what's happening. Hand trembling a little bit. He hasn't got it quite square on that coaster.
But he hasn't put it down just yet. We're going to have to wait till the impact.
He's floating a little bit. He's got another about 3 seconds on the clock there to get that in. The coaster.
The water's trembling a little.
It is. There's a tremble on the hand. He knows he's over it, but my God, where's that going to go? You wonder. Oh, it's smacked down.
Oh, my God, he's just nailed it.
He's in the coaster like a beauty. It's almost as if he's lying in a bed in exactly the same position in which he picked it up, and his elbow hasn't changed dimension. Abs the crowd have been told what's happened, of course.
Oh, he's getting a 9. He's getting an 8.
He's getting a 9.
He's getting
absolutely
a 9
beautiful.
Again. Oh,
it's
my
beautiful.
God. The Czechoslovakian judge has given him a 10.
X.
Hello, Chris Moyles here. I'm so sorry to interrupt your podcast enjoyment. I'm with my friend Dominic Byrne.
Hello there, I'm sorry.
You may remember us, we used to be on the radio back in the day. Well, we still are.
Still doing it.
Anyway, we do a podcast. Mm-hmm. It's called The Chris Moyles Show on Radio X Podcast, and it's all the best bits of our radio show from the week, with all those pesky songs and things taken out.
That's it.
And some hilarious things in there.
I'm just really laughing is. Thinking yeah. about it.
Download it right now from Global Player.
Radio
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Gaff, let's have a hero. Do it, do it. Every single day of the week, the Woodman furnished with a hero. Today, utterly no exception. This guy, if you've got Disney Channel, you get all the ESPN 30 for 30 documentaries, the best series of 30 documentaries you can ever hope to see. I've seen them all. They're fantastic. Some of them actually have more than one part. So it's more than 30. Mm. One of them is called The Angry Skies, and The Woodman is about to tell you about the protagonist
yes.
of that documentary. Go on, Kev.
So the hero today, Johnny, is a man called Nick Piantanida.
Ah, you pronounce it Piantanida. I didn't.
How do they pronounce it?
I don't know, Gav.
Piantanida.
Everyone pronounced it Piantanida. Everyone kept pronouncing it differently. Go on.
Okay, well, anyway, that's how it looks like to me. He has got to have what the Mexicans would call los ping-pongs.
Yes.
Bigger than any man on earth.
Definitely. Los Jueves.
He was born in 1932 in Union City, New Jersey. At 10 years old, he began experimenting with homemade parachutes. Imagine hearing that as a parent. Terrifying.
Yeah, right. That's awful.
He even jumped off a low-ish roof once, trying one out, and broke his arm. He joined the Army Reserve, then the Army, for a couple of years after high school. He came out as a corporal. In between then and his adventures in high ballooning, he climbed that huge...
the Angel Falls.
The Angel Falls plateau. Him and his friend were the first to go up the north face of it. It was absolutely incredible.
In Venezuela. They just heard about it. They thought, we'll break it. They got the local paper involved, raised the money, off they went.
Absolutely amazing. So later on in 1963, he ended up back in New Jersey running a pet shop business. When he got properly into skydiving, he took lessons, did loads of jumps till he got an expert license. And then he heard about the highest ever jump record at the time from a balloon. It was a Soviet Yevgeny Andreev who had the record of 83,000 feet.
Wow.
There was also an unofficial record by an American, Joseph Kittinger, of 102,500 feet. That was a U.S. Air Force record, and it hadn't been certified by the International Aeronautique,
right,
or whatever body they had. So Nick wanted to better the record. He didn't have the money.
20 miles up.
It's huge, yeah.
Well, no, it's not. It's not quite that, is it? 29,000 feet is about 5 miles. 30,000 feet is about 5 miles.
Is it?
Yes, Everest,
and this is
Everest,
much higher.
Everest's 5 miles high, and right, that's 29,200 and odd feet.
Insane. So he didn't have the budget of the Soviet state or the US Air Force, so he had to teach himself everything about meteorology, balloon technology, survival systems, pressure suits. In fact, he got his pressure suit for his first attempt,
yes,
by going to the manufacturer that sold them to the Air Force.
Yeah.
And they loaned him one.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
It's just a company called the David Clark Company.
Okay, to get up in a balloon, you have to get your balloon flyer's license.
Yes.
You have to have had a solo flight in a balloon. Do you know what he did?
What did he do?
Went for a ballooning day with his wife.
Just a commercial one?
Yeah, just a commercial one. Paid for it. Waited for the guy to go and untie the rope.
Yeah.
As the guy was untying the rope, the balloon pilot, who then walks back to the balloon and jumps in, he just cut the rope, drifted up, just waved off. He literally nicked the balloon and went off with his wife. So he could say he'd done a solo flight.
It's unbelievable. His first attempt, he had to abort it at 16,000 feet. He jumped out and parachuted down. His second attempt, he reached a record altitude of 123,500 feet, but he couldn't disconnect from his oxygen line. And he had to disconnect the balloon from the gondola and come down in a parachute on the gondola. So he didn't get the height record because he didn't come down with the balloon. And he didn't get the parachute record because he couldn't jump out. But it was an altitude record.
Yeah.
His third attempt was a disaster. His suit failed at 57,000 feet on the ascent. The ground team jettisoned the balloon and he ended up in a coma. He died 4 months later.
Yeah.
He has to be the bravest amateur ever. He was only 34. What a hero.
At one point, he technically had a record. He got to see the curvature of the Earth.
Yeah, 123,000
feet. 123,000 feet, which is about 22 miles up.
Nick,
how about that?
Piantanida.
Nick Piantanida, Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7 thing. Why we salute you. Thank you so much, Gav. You did him justice. It's an amazing show. The Angry Skies, that documentary is called.
Unbelievable.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Okay, get ready for this, guys.
Go on.
It's time for this week's Top 10 Smelliest Cities. Sorry, we don't do Top 10 Smelliest Cities every week.
No.
Like this week,
we've
got
amazing.
Another 10. Yeah. You know, we've got a chart of 1,000. Anyway, so Smelliest Cities. Are you ready for this? Heads or tails?
Tails.
Tails. So, the fewest number of odour complaints were recorded in Yorkshire, interestingly, at only 42. One location, Norwich, had the honour of being the nicest smelling location. Zero reports of bad smells.
Wow. Okay,
nice.
Okay, so let's start off with Portsmouth, yeah?
Mm.
They had 166 complaints. But do you think Leeds, which is in Yorkshire there, obviously, but West Yorkshire, more or less than Portsmouth? Sunta?
Lower.
You're wrong. It's higher.
I thought being near the sea would have been a bit stinkier.
I think there's probably a tannery or something there.
Leeds near the sea.
No, Portsmouth.
Oh, right. I was going to say.
So I thought Leeds would be lower.
No, it's not. It's higher.
Yeah.
All right. And there's nothing wrong with the smell of the sea.
Explaining my thinking.
But there's nothing wrong with the smell of the sea either.
I know, but I've. Oh, right. Sorry.
And they're probably used to it. No, all your whole base of evaluating everything was flawed. There was nothing empirical or rational about any of your arguments or discussions. If I was you, I take, while Gavin's answering these questions, a long, hard look at yourself.
Sure.
Love. Okay, here we go. Gav.
We're in Leeds.
We're in Leeds with 369 complaints. Mm. But do you think Nottingham?
Nottingham.
You are me, Doc. Not tall, buddy, yo. Take a walk down the road and rather abruptly you smell something.
I'm going to say Nottingham was slightly smellier.
It's not, no.
Oh, okay.
Well, Sunta's.
There's nothing to base this on, is it?
No, nothing at all, no.
Oh, no, I hate it
it's
when you.
Just guesswork.
No, you don't do that. You then undermine the quiz because you think it's now who knows who's going to win it. Do you know something? You're just...
Have you got a coin? I'll just toss a coin each time.
Oh, no. Santa, please don't undermine it, because people like playing, no, we like calculated guesses.
Okay. Even but though, you told me off for trying to make a calculator.
Because that was the work.
Sons, just think breweries, tanneries, sewage works.
Birmingham.
Go on.
Sorry, that was just completing that one of things.
Where are we then?
Birmingham. Sewage.
Birmingham versus Nottingham.
Yes. Nottingham had 162 complaints. How many Birmingham had?
Higher.
It is higher. Well done. Why did you think higher?
But don't know.
Now, why did you think higher? Don't sort of ham it up.
I don't know why.
Why did you think Birmingham higher? Because of what Gavin said. That's why. Yes. Because he replies something actually rational.
But I've never been to Birmingham and visited a tannery or a brewery.
Yes,
or
you
a
have.
Sewage work.
Yes, you have. You
always used to go to tanneries.
Shall I tell you something? Yeah, Birmingham, key stat is it's got, I don't know if it's true, but I've heard more canals than Venice.
Wow.
More miles of canal than Venice.
Is that just what you've heard?
I've heard that. I don't know if it's true. Right. London, Bexley. Higher or lower than Birmingham?
Lower.
Why do you think that?
I don't know.
No, why do you think that?
I don't have any reason.
Because it hasn't got as many canals. It is lower.
Is this all about canals?
No, but it's just, I'm just providing you something rational so you don't ham it up and act like a giddy kid.
I thought it was rational to think that if you were near the sea, it might be a bit stinkier. I grew up
near
the sea.
Why the sea doesn't stink?
No, but
yes,
fish
but
do.
That's because you live right by an old burger van and some donkeys.
Hold on, East Anglia smells lovely, apparently, according to that survey.
Okay, no, it doesn't. Well, it does. Norwich does, but that's not Suffolk, is it?
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay, so we're in London, Bexley. Do you think London, Kensington, Chelsea, smellier or less smelly?
Oh, less. Hang on. I would have said less, but then people there might complain.
People complain
more
a lot,
yeah, you're right. But they might live nearer the river.
Fewer, less.
It is less, yeah. Gav, please win this. Okay, we're in London, Kensington, Chelsea, but do we think Stoke had more or less complaints than that?
Higher.
You think higher? Why do you think higher? Because it's Kensington, Chelsea.
Yeah.
Okay. You're exactly right. It is higher. Right. Gav. Sorry, Sunta. Bradford, higher or lower than Stoke? Come on, with Stoke. Do you think Bradford, they receive more or less?
Lower.
It is lower. Okay, we're with Bradford. But do you think Swindon was higher or lower than Bradford?
Higher.
It is higher, yes.
Oh, my God.
See, it turns out you're she's the strongest you've ever got.
I tell you what, I've got a coin under and flipping. It's doing really well.
No, I tell you something. You couldn't do it with 50-50, because at the moment, if you'd done that on the run you're on, it's 64-1 you'd get there. So you are using something in your brain that's actually working. Yeah, so don't be in denial about it, idiot.
Where are we?
We're in Swindon. Do you think London Westminster had more or less complaints than Swindon's 192 complaints?
Westminster is a bit stinky. I'm going to say higher.
It is higher. You won!
Yay!
You
my
see?
God.
It is higher because it's stinky. It is stinky.
It is stinky. Westminster's really stinky. The stench of corruption alone is gagging.
The whiff of corruption, Gavin. Exactly right.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Hey, guys, this is the 4 till 7 thing on your glorious Radio X. Now, Gav, today, read something fascinating I think it was, actually, I'm going to be honest, it was in Toby Tarrant's scriptwriter did it for him in the Star.
The Daily Star, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And what's interesting, we'll be the judge of that. Is that Benny Hill?
Yes, it's on page 3, I think. It's Benny Hill.
Is it a page 3 lead? Yes.
Yes, there it is.
TV legend Benny is massive in Spain 30 years after his death.
It's just had a resurgence, apparently. They're really into it.
Yes.
Really?
They're really into it.
I suddenly thought,
apparently he's still a massive hit on the Costa del Sol. Isn't it just because this might not be the Spaniards, is my point about this.
Oh, this could be a certain generation of expats.
Well, there's 500,000 English people live there.
Of a certain age.
Yes.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Many of whom would have, I don't
yeah,
know.
It's such an obvious thing.
Yeah, I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Oh, look, they're playing it again.
No, it's like saying Sri Lankan soap operas are popular with a... But it's...
Yes.
Makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense. It does. That's much more sense than Spanish families have just suddenly discovered.
Right.
70s innuendo comedy.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's your sort of, for me, that's the magic bullet in this one, you know, that you can sort of make the connection. You can make the connection there.
Yeah, because why Spain? I mean, it's right.
Right, well, because there's 500,000 English people living there. And more. But Gav, what I love is when you do read, like, for instance, Norman Wisdom, who personally, I really couldn't stand.
He was already obvious.
Even as a child, his films used to drive me crazy.
Yeah.
And for a while, I even suspected that both him and George Formby, the Jimi Hendrix of the ukulele, became massive during the war.
Yes.
Because it was really reassuring to our boys fighting just to think there's only idiots at home.
Oh, right. They weren't going to woo their
wives. There's like homeless blokes like that at home.
Yeah. No threat.
I couldn't work out who he was, but now you've done that voice, I know who you mean.
Ten down nice and teach.
Right.
Mother! Ten down nice and teach.
The little silly hat.
That's not
Wisdom. That's Norman Wisdom.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
Norman
You're doing George Formby.
I'm doing George Formby. Norman Wisdom's Mr. Goosedale.
Yeah, Mr. Goosedale.
Except that's more my. Anyway. But it's nice that you got it who it was by me doing the impression of the other guy.
Yeah
perfect.
You either got a talent or you haven't.
Yeah.
Sure. Although I might list up little size things. I can do an impression of George Formby so that someone knows I mean Norman Wisdom.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Anyway, but that's my theory. It was actually Minister of Propaganda, so people wouldn't get wound up about sort of Americans over here.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, taking our women.
Or rakish Cockneys.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, I'll give her some nylons.
That's right.
Come back to mine on the groove.
A bit of Marlboro.
Straight back on me grooving, Matt, in front of the fire. But,
grooving, Matt.
Yeah.
Don't get Johnny on grooving, Matt. Okay. That's another whole conversation.
Because that's something that will be on my website as merch you can buy.
Okay.
The Johnny Vaughan grooving, Matt.
Sure.
So I think Norman Wisdom is massive in Albania.
Is he?
Yes, huge. Like, he's their biggest star. That's who he's
joking?
No, I'm not joking. He is their icon there.
I think Mr. Bean is massive in Jamaica.
Yes.
Really massive.
And he's also massive in China, Mr. Bean.
Is he?
Well.
Really? Yeah.
I've also heard The Good Life is huge in Pakistan.
Is it? Because I had heard that Robin's Nest was massive in Nepal.
Have you heard that?
Yeah, they love Robin's Nest.
I know The Two Ronnies is huge in Colombia.
Really?
Yes.
Les dos Ronaldos.
Yes, it's true, yes.
Los dos Ronis.
Yeah, los dos Ronis.
You too. Absolute wind-up mode.
It's true.
Buenos noches.
From him and buenos noches from me. Yeah, right. And also, I've heard that Terry and June are huge, still, no one knows why, they're massive in Mexico. Mexicans.
They just can't get enough of Terry and June.
And also, on the buses, is huge in China.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know what? What a well-travelled mob we've got.
God, they know their telly as well, don't they?
They really know their telly, Gav. For instance, did you know Hale and Pace are huge in Antigua?
They've got statues of them.
They love them there.
Wow.
Do you know what, though? They did one of the funniest sketches I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Did you see the one where they're both just being lower middle class?
Oh, yes, I did. They were really good. He had a sort of jumper tank top.
Yeah. No, he had a horrible cardigan in his mouth, smoking a pipe, and he was giving advice about insurance. I'll tell you exactly why I know. Because I'm lower middle class.
That's right. It was brilliant.
It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen on television. They nailed it.
That was pre-Fast Show. That was really good.
That was really good. Yeah. We are looking. And actually, the reason it slightly edged the Fast Show for me is because, do you know what?
What?
They did different sketches every week.
That's right. It wasn't the same one.
Yes. Yeah. It wasn't just the same joke. It was just a sort of viz-comic thing, really. But yeah, they did different sketches every week. Like Monty Python.
Yeah.
They did different sketches every week.
Amazing.
See, Little Britain, they didn't.
No.
They did the same sketches every week.
Again,
Monty Python,
again.
Different sketches. Right, we're just looking at some of the shows that are big abroad. This is after the star revealed in, Toby Tarrant's writer.
Yeah.
Writing team. Mm.
I think it's just one guy.
Sorry, Toby, it's really unfair. But you do cut it to shreds. You leave us very little.
It's unbelievable.
Actually, we're below that, really.
Yeah.
We have what Toby rejects from the Daily Star.
The tailings.
Yeah, where does that leave us? Anyway, I love the Star. I think it's true to the whole tabloid ethic of Britain. It's really inoffensive. Wonderful. It's not political. They're not angry. It's fantastic.
But they told us that Benny Hill was big in Spain, didn't they? Today?
Yes, yeah. He's big in Spain. So a lot of you are telling some great things. Like, I don't know if you know this, gang, but Howard's Way is big in Morocco. I didn't know that, Gav. What have you seen there?
Shine on Harvey Moon is massive in Greenland.
Is he?
Apparently.
I didn't know that. What have you spotted, since? You enjoy it.
Lovejoy is massive in Fiji.
Yes. Mike and Bernie Winters, according to JJ in Norwich, they are treated like gods in Uzbekistan.
Never the Twain is massive in Libya.
I know. Richard O'Sullivan's ITV blockbuster, Dick Turpin, is huge in Uruguay.
Wow, Russ.
Yeah, interesting, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, they're mad for Citizen Smith in Senegal.
Right.
You can't go down a street in Dakar without someone shouting power to the people.
Incredible.
Amazing. What have you seen there since?
Apparently Crossroads is huge in Sierra Leone. They can't get enough of Benny.
I get it. Yeah. They can't get enough of keeping up appearances in the Central African Republic, according to Jason of High Wycombe. I can believe that, actually.
You can see it.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 fan.
Radio X.
A rogue artificial intelligence system could kill everyone.
What?
And technology must be regulated in a similar way to nuclear weapons. Now, this comes hot on the heels of Kim Jong-un just regarding hacking exactly like nuclear.
Mm.
He says he can literally blow away a society with a keystroke, could with a launch code.
Like a software missile.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
Weird.
Right, Gavin.
God.
Researchers from Oxford University. So this is Oxford University, the best university in the world. That's what it's been voted.
Sure.
Yeah?
Sure.
And they've done all the tests, and it is. So it's above MIT, it's above Harvard, it's above Cambridge.
Really?
It's above Berkeley, above all of them.
Right.
It's Oxford University is the best university in the world again, right?
My God.
So these guys, yeah?
Yeah.
The most intelligent people on Earth have decided that AI could pose an existential threat to humanity. Just as humans wiped out the dodo, machines will eradicate us. Surely, it says.
Surely.
Machines, as sure as they can be.
Machines
yeah.
will surely eradicate man.
Oh.
Michael Cohen, a doctoral student with superhuman AI. Oh, no, sorry. Michael Cohen, a doctoral student, said...
Right.
Superhuman.
With superhuman AI.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such an important...
Yeah, grammar,
such
yeah.
an important bit of grammar,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
With superhuman AI, there is a particular risk that is of a different sort of class, which is it could kill everyone.
Right.
Okay. He added, if you imagine training a dog with treats, it will learn to pick actions that lead to getting treats.
Yeah.
But if the dog finds the treat cupboard, it can get the treats itself without doing what it wanted to do.
Right.
And get rid of you with the stupid games anymore.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
My God. They'll end up with a really fat dog.
Doesn't need to wait for... No, that's not the point, Gav.
Oh, sorry.
It means it doesn't need to wait for individual threats to write. It'll just say, humans are those treats.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it. They'll just wipe us all out.
God.
And say, well, it's just not, I can just get the lot.
Yeah.
And then it'll definitely never be a problem again because there won't be any humans to mess up.
Oh, my God.
But there will be. There'll be a ragtag band. Yeah?
Yes, of survivors.
Yes. I want to have...
Whatever they
can. I have a shotgun on my thigh, like
exactly.
Snake Plissken?
Yeah, as long as you saw the barrels off.
Yeah.
And I want to make a Jeep car thing.
Definitely.
With spikes on it.
Yes.
And also, I want, like, buttons that lead to something that looks like an old telephone, but then feeds to a television screen.
Definitely.
And then I've got... And it's old...
With a magnifying screen in front of the television
screen.
Right,
the whole thing runs on a car battery.
I want Little Si on the front of my truck.
I want a boomerang that can
easy
take a person's
that
head
guy
off.
Got, that was bad for in
no,
Mad
he's
Max.
The guitar hero, that guy, in Mad Max.
But didn't he get the boomerang?
Oh, yeah, he might have done,
I think
yeah.
he did, yeah. yeah. MPs were told that the AI industry had evolved into a literal arms race with rival states rushing to develop applications for military and civil use. And this is the problem. It's completely unregulated. You've got maniacs in charge of this.
And it's by nature self-growing. That's the scary thing.
And also, it just all they do is learn from a previous mistake.
Yeah.
They don't judge from the future. They don't read the future. It's just what happened in the past. What happened in the past?
What didn't work?
Oh, my God. If then else. Let me tell you, yeah? It's Boolean statements, which is an if-then-else statement.
Yeah.
It's Boolean binality. That's what I call it. It's binal.
Right, right.
Because it's a cross between binary and banal.
Mm.
Boolean binality, formatting humanity, rendering us flies in a spidering duality, in a web that's worldwide where each click is a slip, mining and fishing with silicon chips. Yes, they mine us, they rate us, refine us, metadata us, the paradox of progress, the need to upgrade us and feed us with fakeness like tick box dictators. No, I don't. Here's the wombats, Tokyo, vampires and wolves, right here on your glorious Radio X, fighting AI and marching on to almost certain victory. Here we go.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Now you get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every single Friday. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk.
Radio X.